So the case is like this. I think this happens all the time. So you're looking for a car, and a used car, and you go to the car dealer, and he says, here, take this car for $7,000. It cost me $6,000, and I'll make $1,000 profit. You can have it for $7,000. And you bought the car, and the price was good. We're not talking that it was a bad price. I mean, the price, $7,000, was the book value. It was a reasonable price. But a few weeks later, you meet the person that sold the car to the car dealer, and he said, you got $6,000? And he said, $6,000? Ah, he paid me $3,000 for it, and you got $7,000 from you. And you feel upset that he lied to you. He said that he paid $6,000 for it, and you see the person that sold to him, and he says he only got $3,000 for it. We have to talk about two cases. A case where the final price that he gave you was a market price, right? That's one case. And then the other case is, because it wasn't a market price, that might make a difference, right? So those are the cases we're talking about. The fact that the seller lied, does that give the buyer any right to renege on the sale, get his money back? Right, so there's a whole sugya. According to Rashi, it's not, but according to the other Rishonim, it is. And it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. There's a sugya called No Seva, No Sein Be'Amuna. Right? There's the famous Gemara says, the first question they ask when we go upstairs is where we Nasasa and Nasata Be'Amuna. Did you deal honestly? This is using those words, but in a different context. The Gemara in Bamasiya, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Now Rashi learns the sugya differently. According to Rashi, this whole question doesn't come up, or at least there's no Gemara basis for it. But we're going to learn the Gemara the way Tosus learns it. Hanosin vanosin ba'amana. There's no vav in the Gemara, but all the posts can say ba'amuna. If someone is trading on trust, meaning this case, the seller tells the buyer, I bought it for such and such price, and I'm making 10%. I'm making $5. And the buyer doesn't really know. He's trusting the seller that he's honest. Or the price continues, we spoke about last week. If someone says, I'm selling this to you on the condition that there's no anah, there's no anah in either of those cases. Last week we spoke about the case of making a condition. We said it has to be that you said explicitly how much the anah is. But today we're going to talk about the first case. No seva nosin ba'amana. Right, so the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on that. Well, before we see that Gemara, this is not the case we were talking about. This is a case where he was honest. And this year is going to be, the first part of this year we're going to be talking about the case where he was honest. And the second part of this year we'll get back to our posted case, the case where he lied. Right, so switching gears to where he's honest, what does it mean there's no anah? That means that if I tell you I bought this car for $5,000 and I'll sell it to you for $6,000, and I did buy it for $5,000, but it's really worth $4,000, so there's a special type of sale called nosin v'nosin ba'amana, which is exempt from anah considerations. Right? And the Svara, the Nesiva says the same Svara we said last week, that when I'm buying something at a store, so then I'm buying two things. I'm buying the object, and I'm buying the value. If you cheat me on the value, you're overcharging me on the value, so then I can say anah. But we said, if you make a stipulation, so then you're not, or Balabai is selling his property, so then you're not buying the value anyway, you're just buying that guy's things, because you know that he's not going to be selling it at a regular price. So same thing is, here's even clearer. I'm telling you, I don't care what, I didn't say that, but I don't care what the market price is. This sale is being based on what my cost was. My cost was so-and-so, and I'm making 10%, and that's what I want from you. So if you agree to such a sale, so then you're not buying value anymore, you're just buying the object. You're not interested in the market value. You're basing your purchase on that thing, and you're trusting him. There's nothing. You can't say, come back and say later, well, the market price was different. Because I'll tell you, we weren't dealing in that way. We were dealing with my cost, and my cost was honestly $5,000. You agreed to pay an extra $1,000. What changed here? What are you going and shopping around? it was clear that our deal was based on my price, not on what the market price was. So that's a clear halacha that nosin va nosin ba amana, there's no din of ona'a on that. And the Poskim say even though Rashi learns the sugya differently, it doesn't mean that he'll disagree with the halacha, he just doesn't use this as a source. But the halacha is very intuitive, that when you're selling something on such a basis, it won't be subject to ona'a. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara elaborates with the Braisa. And also, it's, I think, an intuitive halacha. Suppose you bought a bulk lot of something, a bulk lot of esrogim, a bulk lot of apples, anything, right? And you go and you sort them, and there's good ones and there's bad ones. The Gemara talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case, he bought 10 bolts of fabric for a 10 dinner. You put 10 bolts of fabric for $10. So the average was $1 each. So you're very smart. You separate the good ones from the bad ones. Some are worth less than $1. Some are worth more than $1. And you take the bad ones and you tell the customers, I paid $1 for each bolt, and you sell them for $1.20, $1.10. And then you take the good ones, which are worth $1.50 each, and you sell them for $1.75 or the $1.50. So the Gemara says you can't do that. If you want to deal with amana, it has to be amana across the board. You have to sell them all as a bulk lot again. Here's, I bought these 10 for $10, I'll sell it to you for 12. Or I'll sell it to you whatever I'm selling it for. That's my profit. But if you start taking the good ones out of the equation and just selling the bad ones like that, so that's cheating. And that's you're not allowed to do. Okay, that's the braisa. The braisa continues that you can, by this case of ordering these fabric, you can include the amount of the porter's fee and the cost of the inn, and that's all part of the price. You just can't include your tirchas because that's not part of the price. You know, I'm not paying you extra. I'm paying you for your profit here, not for your labor. So you can't include labor in such a deal. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So just to go over some of the halachas where the person was honest. One thing we're talking where it was honest, he had honestly bought this for the price he said, and he sold it. The smach, on the second side, there's just a few halachas listed. So the main halachas is no, oh no. And the smach says you don't even have to know at the time of the sale what the price was. I'm making a kinyan with you, and I'll tell you later, I'll look it up to see what exactly the cost was. I'm selling it to you for cost plus 5%. Right, so even though you don't know the cost at the time and the buyer doesn't know the cost at the time, that's still no sin va no sin ba amana, and it's a legal sale and it's not subject to the laws of ona.
Sorry, is the cost plus 5%, but either one of you knows the numbers.
I don't know yet. I'll find out.
If you agree to the sale, then you'll make a price.
Then I'll look at my records and I'll see how much it costs. Then you go to a Sfarim store. Right, it happens a lot. The Sfarim store, they just got in a whole big shipment from New York or Eretz Yisrael. And there's a bunch of swine there, so, and you want that safe for now? He says, look, I didn't have a chance to price it, I don't even know what it cost me. So he said, look, I'll sell it to you for my cost plus 10%, 20%, whatever the percent is. So on that basis, there's no ona. That means even if you go later to the other stores and the other stores are selling it much cheaper, if he's honest with you, and we're assuming he'll be honest because he'll show you the invoice, and this is what the invoice says, so then there can't be any kind of ona. And this happens. I mean, it happens to me a lot. Not that I get cheated, but
there was no number attached. There wouldn't be a sale. There's no number at that moment attached.
Right.
No one knew the price.
Right, no one knew the price.
What? They made up the price at that minute, at that moment.
They didn't make a price. We said, I made a kinyan on it. I took the saver home. I'll pay you later. Uh-huh. And now I say, no, I don't want to pay that much for it. I saw it cheaper elsewhere. So the seller could say, look, this was no sin, no sin barman. No, this is what my cost was. We agreed to such a sale according to the Sma. That's still called, that he says his lashon, that you weren't dealing with the value at the other thing. You just wanted the item. Especially with the saver. Sometimes you go to New York and they tell you this one got airmailed and it cost $25 and in a few weeks I'll be getting the others, they'll be worth $15. And you want the safer now, so you buy it for $25. Even though you know the value is going to be less because you want it now. It's just an example. So whenever you're making such a deal, I'm buying it on trust, your price plus the markup, so there's no ona, even if I don't know the price at the time, because I'm doing it on this basis, as long as you're telling me the truth. Okay? Happen with other things. You go to any store. You know, they just got a new a new shipment of whatever it is, of shirts, of suits, and you don't know, we don't know the price yet, but you want it. I'm in a hurry. I have a chasana, and I need it now. I can't wait for you to price it. And so when I find the price, I'll give you the price plus 10%, whatever the percent is. So then you can't later say, come back to them and say, I saw it next door for much cheaper. Right? Because you have waived your rights to own no when you make such a sale, because you are not interested in, you've shown that you're not interested in the value of the object. You just are interested in that object, and you got the object, and the fact that it might have been cheaper somewhere else, that is no basis to cancel the sale. Now the Shach adds that it's a two-way street. It's not only if the buyer finds out that he could have gotten it cheaper somewhere else that the sale goes on, but even if the seller finds out that he underpriced it, the seller finds out that he underpriced it, he also can't cancel the sale. Because the buyer will say, look, we are not dealing with prices here. You also, when you said you just want to make your profit and your 10% and that's it, so we were not dealing with market prices. And you made your 10%. You made a good deal with your supplier and you made your profit. You have no reason to complain. And there will be no onah in such a case also. Right? That also makes sense. And the Shach continues, and this makes no difference. A lot of times in halachos onah, there's a difference between exactly a sixth and more than a sixth. Here he says, even if it's more than a sixth, even if it was, you know, way off, it's 30% different than market value, 40% different than market value, there's still no onah, because the basis of the sale was on trust, your cost plus that percent, and that's the way the sale was made. So you can't come back later and say that other stores sell it different, and the seller can't say that, I'm sorry, I underpriced it. That's the way you made the sale. Now the Nesivus puts a little bit of a monkey wrench in it, and he says, but it also makes sense. This is all talking where no one knows what the real price was. But if the, and we talked about this in the beginning, suppose you're the store owner, and you found out that you got overpriced, you got overcharged on an item that you can't give back, or you know they left the country already, the person you bought it from, and now you want to pass on your loss to the customer. And you tell the customer, I'm selling it to you on trust. I'm selling it to you for my cost plus a percent of profit. So the Nesivus says, if you know at that time that you were cheated, that you had paid more than you should have, more than the market price, so then you can't pass on your loss to the customer. We're all talking where everyone is honest. We think, I have no reason to think that I got overcharged. I have no reason to think I'm overcharging you. But if I know that I got overcharged, I can't just use this as a device to pass on my loss to you. Okay, so that's the first part. That's when everything's honest. So when everything's honest, it's a proper way to do business, and you don't have to worry about market prices by just saying, this is my cost, I'm selling it at that percentage. Now, what happens if it lies? Now, the Poskim, the Gemara, the Rishonim don't talk anything about what happens if it was a lie. For some reason, they don't talk about it, and we're going to talk about two, because they didn't lie in those days. That's right, they didn't lie in those days. So we're going to talk about two cases where there could be a lie, like we said in the beginning. One case is where he lied and the price still was at the market price, and the second case was where he lied and the price was wrong also, the price was too high with the lie. Now, the first one to talk about what happens if they lied is the Marash Dam, which is an early Achron. So he says, he brings a Raya. Right, we said that if you bought some good apples and some bad apples, right, 10 bolts of fabric, some good ones and some bad ones, for $10, and some were worth less than a dollar, some were worth more than a dollar, so the Gemara said, the Braisa said, that you can't separate the small ones, the bad ones, and sell them for at this on trust, and then sell the others at the value to make a bigger profit. And if you do, it's subject to onah. So the Marash Dam says, Kol Shkein, if I sell you something for $1, and I tell you that I bought it for 80 cents, and I really spent 25 cents for it, so that also should be subject to onah. So that's the first halacha, that if it's overpriced, and I lied, so that takes away this whole heter, this whole legal loophole against onah. In other words, the laws of Anah now apply. If there was a lie, if the seller lied, so then the laws of Anah are reconstituted. Well, they're still good. There could be still a svar. I mean, just to tell you why there's a chiddush, a little bit of a chiddush, is that because I could say, look, you agreed to waive your right to Anah because you're selling, you don't care, you just want the object. So what's the difference? I'm selling you market value. What's the difference if I paid a little cheaper for it? I got a good deal. You showed me you didn't care about market value, and I happen to be selling it to you at market value, maybe a little bit off, six off. But the fact that, so you shouldn't care that it's a six off, a little bit more than a six off. You didn't care. Because if I really had paid that amount for it, you were willing to pay that price. But you were willing to pay that price, and so because I lied, that should change it. So Allah goes, yeah, because that's what we learned, that this is normally the laws of Anah apply. There's a legal loophole that if you sell on trust, that waives the laws of Anah. But if you misuse that legal loophole, you lied, so then you go back to the laws of Anah. Right? So if it was less than a sixth off, it'd still be mechila, lechora. If it'd be exactly a sixth, you'd pay the difference. And if it's more than a sixth, then you could be mevatel the nekah. Now the later Achronim say, the Marashtam didn't say, what would happen if that's all, if the price was right, the way the price gets justified based on the new, on his new buying price. But suppose even with the new price, it's still off. So there, it seems that you could still, suppose he says he bought it for $10 and he's selling it to you for $12, but he really bought it for $5, and his 10% profit now should be, you have the right to get it for $6 now. But the market price is $4. Right? It didn't help anything going back to that price. So there they say that there also you can go back to the rules of Anah. The rules of Anah are still in full force. But the question which I think is more prevalent, and I think it's more interesting, is suppose it is a good price that he gave you. He's selling it to you for, our case of the car. He's selling you the car for $6,000, and it is a good, I think it's a $7,000, and it is a good price. It's a market price. But you bought it thinking that he paid $6,000 for it. And in reality, he paid $3,000 for it. He got a good deal. It was a liquidation sale, an auction, somehow he got a good deal. And he really only paid $3,000 for it. So how about now? Now what are you going to say? There's Anah? The seller will say, I sold it to you at market price. What's the problem here? There's no Anah. It's a market price. $6,000 is maybe even the low end of the market price. And you say, yeah, but you said you paid $7,000. $7,000 is the market price. And this buyer says, yeah, but you said you paid $6,000 for it, and you really only paid $3,000 for it. You lied. So does a mere lie do anything? Right, that's the question. They bring a tshuva from, this is the Lashon of the tshuva, the Jibbe Gaon brings it from the Tash Beitz, which is on the handout. I don't have the tshuva there, but this is the way the tshuva went. Someone sold his friend the Chepet Behamuna, and he said, I bought it for this amount, and the buyer gave him a certain percent profit based on his price. Then we found out that he lied, and he had bought it from a guy at half the price because the guy didn't know the value and he cheated the guy and he got it very cheap. So now the buyer says, why should I pay you the price I agreed on? You got it at half the price that you said you sold it to me. And the seller says like this, I gave it to Hamoka told me to Shum Oso Kafishu Shalabashuk. The price I gave you, the $7,000, that price I gave you, that's market price. And Mala Lokeachim who kon a Mitzia, what do you care if I found a Mitzia? Al Kalponim Lo Inei Veshiva Yechefetz, I didn't cheat you the value of the Chefetz, what do you care? So the Tashbeitz Paskins, Ima Lokeach Eino Merutza Bakaniya, if the buyer does not want that item based on this new consequence, Arehu Mekaktos, it's a Mekaktos, and I'm sorry, this is what the buyer is still saying, and if you don't want it, give it back to me, give me back the car, and I'll give you back your money. But the buyer sees a bargain here. He says, look, you pay $3,000 for it, I'll give you your $1,000 profit, I'll give you $4,000. Right? He smells a profit. And the Tashbeis paskins, the kiven da kinyin ha yadaita shebesach kach kana, since the kinyin was based on the das that the seller had paid $6,000 for the car, kana halokeach hachetet kiyasach shekana hamocher. He acquires it based on the real price that the seller had sold it for, meaning he can get it for the $3,000 plus the $1,000 profit. Veina mocher yochel levatul hamekach, and the seller cannot cancel the sale. Umechuyev lahachzir lekeach, and he has to return to the buyer. Komasha shaker though, everything he lied to him. Afilu kana bezul harbi, even if it was much much less. Mishum benosei benosei bemun ani bo no. There's no unah here. In other words, the Sfari says, and I have from the Heshi Moshe, the Sigut Rebbe also has the same idea. He says, if I sell you something on trust, and this is maybe what you're getting at, if I'm selling it to you on trust, what's happening is, our kinyan is made on that basis. You said you wanted to make $1,000 profit. So leave numbers aside, the number you told me. You said you're selling it to me for your cost plus $1,000. And I made a kinyan on it. So the kinyan is made at that basis, cost plus $1,000. Now you happen to lie to me and say your cost was $3,000 more than it really was. So that is geneva. I gave you $3,000, that's geneva. So the halacha is going to be that I was kona the car at cost plus $1,000, your cost really was $3,000, so I give you $4,000, then I have the car. If I already paid you $7,000, you have to give me back $3,000. And that's the way both of these poskim paskin. Now, not even agrees with this. I have the Erev Shai written down. The Erev Shai holds, and this is the lesson we said in the beginning, he said, Tekach derechat ha-gorim lo mersheyn en marvichim. Right? That's the way your merchants, they all say they're not making a profit. And if someone tells you, I'm telling you see this plus $1,000, then don't believe him, because no one talks like that. The only way it'll make a difference, the Erev Shai said, if you tell them, oh, you're telling me it's $6,000 plus $1,000, so I'm buying it on that basis. I'm buying it on the basis, okay? I'll give you your $6,000 for your cost plus $1,000. If you show that you're really trusting him, he's just giving a loophole to get out of the notin v'notin v'amun. He's saying it only applies when the buyer really was buying it on that basis. But if it's just a salesman talking and say, look, we're clearing out the lot here and we're just making $100 profit on each car, you know they're not telling the truth because it's just the way they talk. And you could take that with a grain of salt, and that's okay. But if you tell them, I'm trusting you, I'm buying it on this basis, that you paid $2,000 for this computer, and I'm paying you $2,100, or I'm paying you even, I think it'd be the same thing if you pay lower, $1,800, and you find out that he really got it cheaper, so then the Erev Shai would agree with these other poskim that the kinyan was made on this basis, and the basis is cost plus the profit, and that's the way you acquire it, and any difference that was lied about is geneva, and he has to return the difference. Right, the Eshai is just saying you have to make sure that you're into this domain, and you're only into this domain if you say, if the buyer says, he says that the buyer just is quiet, and so you know the buyer ignores half the things that the salesman says. But if it's a real case where, look, I don't know what to say for cost, but if you tell me that's what it costs you, I'll give you that profit, and then you find out you got it cheaper, so then it'd be good cause to cancel the sale, to not cancel the sale, to keep it at that cheaper price. It's a good deal. Now, I do have a text of Kedoshim who's on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Bu Chacher, who seems to disagree with that, that the Mocha could say, look, I only was willing to sell it to you for $7,000, and if now that you caught me lying, I don't want to sell it anymore, I'll gladly give you your money back. But it seems that you get into, that certainly you shouldn't do this if you're selling something. And if you do, it seems there's a good case to be had, to be made, that you'd have to take that loss. It's not such a terrible thing. You're still making $1,000 profit. We're just cutting your profit from $4,000 to $1,000. That's all. You're not losing by that. And you feel bad about it, but... Okay, so we are now saying, when you bought this car for $7,000 and you find out that he really only paid $3,000 for it, so you can claim money back. Give me, either if it was a percent basis or a $1,000 profit basis, give me the difference back. Now, there's one other thing that There's one other thing that we could say over here. And that is this, the end of the Braisa that we said. The end of the Braisa said that you can give to the, you can include in the price the cost of the portage fee, the cost of an inn, whatever cost it was included in getting this thing, like suppose it cost $1,000 to transport the car to you. So you can honestly say it cost me $4,000 because that was part of the cost. And suppose you had to get different things put into it to get the car to work right. That is also called part of the cost. The Aruch HaShulchan goes so far to say that you also can factor in the rent that you pay in your building, on your store, or the workers that you hire. How do you do that? The muscle he gives, I have on the bottom of the handout, that he says, I they have different currencies then, but the store, I suppose the store's rent is 100 saloyim a year. $100 a year rent. And the sales are 5,000 saloyim a year. So that means that you have on each, I don't know how you say the word, but on your gross profit there's 2%, what's it called? Your cost of operations.
Overhead.
Right, your overhead or the cost of operations is 2%. To make each $100, you have to put in $2 of overhead, of operating costs. Right, so he says, so therefore if you're now selling this thing for $3, you can, when you say I bought it for $3, you can include $3 plus that 2% of what your cost is. So the same thing would be with a car. Not only would you be able to put into, I paid $6,000 for it. Yeah, but when you go to the person, he said he paid $3,000, but that's not the whole story. He paid $3,000, and it cost him $1,000 to bring it over there. He had to put in a $1,000 transmission, then he had to pay his workers to clean it up and to fix it and to put in the oil change, to do all these things, and maybe it really did cost him $6,000, and just the rent on his store. Right? In the dinim of Onah, this doesn't apply. In Onah, we said all along, Onah goes by market value, and we don't care what it costs you. That was the first few shiurim. All your expenses don't make a difference when it comes to Onah. Here we're talking, you are selling it at the market value. The market value is $7,000 for the car. The problem was, you were going into the selling on trust scheme of things. So if you're selling on trust, so then we have to see what the price really was. So include, the Aruch HaShulchan says that you can include in the price of what it cost you. Like the Gemara says, all the real transportation costs, and if you had to go there, you had to go to a show to pick it up, the cost of your gas to get there, not your time. Right? You can't say, well, I get a salary and I use my time to get there. That's the tircha, that you can include. But any expense that you had in bringing the car back, including your overhead that you could factor in, that's included in the price, and that would be legal. So to review what we've had, the first part of the shiur we talked about the din of no save and no save the amunah, that if you want to avoid the rules of onah, there's this way of dealing in business by saying to the buyer, honestly, this was my price, I'm making a certain profit, and that's what I'm selling it to you for. Even if you find out that the price was overpriced or underpriced, the buyer and the seller, or the seller, can't cancel the sale. There's no onah halachas at all there, because they weren't dealing with market value. They were dealing with the price that he paid and his profit, and he's honest. If he's honest, the sale goes through and they can't have any onah. The second part we were talking about, where he was dishonest. So when he's dishonest, so first of all, the Maharashtam said for sure the dinim of onah now come back. If the price is wrong on the basis that he sold it now, he could certainly claim onah. And then we bought these later poskim that went even further, that said even if the price is right, the price he sold it to you was market price, but he lied in telling you what his cost price was, so you have the right, according to at least these two poskim that we said, and according to Eruv Shai, as long as you specifically said, I'm going into this basis of sales, you have the right to say, I made a kinyan on this car, I made a kinyan on this whatever computer safer on the basis of your cost plus the profit, and that kinyan is solid and good. And if I paid you any extra, that's geneva, and you have to give me back the difference. There might be some poskim that disagree, but it certainly doesn't seem like something to get into. However, we said at the end that included in that cost, just to put you back into the honest range, your honest wage. And this we do sometimes. We say, oh, this thing cost me so-and-so, I'll give it to you for that, because we're thinking of all the other things that we put into it. So all the things we put into it are included in the cost, and the medayik that says, the Shulchan Aruch says that the kolam, the dmei ha-mekach, you can include them in the value of the merchandise. You don't have to tell them, it cost me $3,000, I put 1,000 transmission, you can just tell them it cost me $6,000, because that's all called the cost. The actual cost plus all the money that you put into it, overhead, all those things are included in the cost, and as long as you can show that that's part of your cost in having this item, you are within the realm of no sim no sim da amuna, and the laws of no one apply, and you certainly can't ask for any money back.